This is the second installment of a series on experiencing God. And while there are many, many ways to approach this subject, I chose to, as I told you last week, to keep it simple, stupid, and just deal with those five words that we learned in school that are describing our five basic senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. Last week, we talked about tasting. And we used that wonderful verse from Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." I'm not going to review all that. It's on the website. Is it on the website? It's on the website, so you can go and review that. I hope you will if you missed it. But today we're going to deal with the word touch. Now, before I get into the scripture about this, let's talk about it. Human touch is vital to human life. Your skin is the largest organ on your body, and it contains a huge network of nerves. And scientists now know that touch, which is felt by all of those nerves, is the first of the five senses to develop in infants. In fact, many scientists say that touch is the most important sense that we have for human survival. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Someone conducted an experiment on premature babies. Some of those infants were only touched when necessary, but others were touched three times a day for 15 minutes at a time, 45 minutes altogether. And that group of infants gained 50% more weight than the others. That's amazing. They also discovered that babies whose parents touched them the most developed better in their brains than the others. Some of you were touched more than others when you were infants. I won't go to the other side of that equation. Now, this research on the benefits of human touch was not limited to just infants and children. Scientists discovered that when we touch someone lovingly at any age, it releases neurological chemicals that can not only make us feel good, but actually reduce our level of stress. Does anybody have any stress in their lives? And when your stress levels are reduced, it leads to better health. And your immune system kicks in better. And you are positively affected. All those perks come from touching. Now, here's another scientific discovery, and this one really surprised me. If you watch professional sports teams, you may have noticed that they particularly love to pat each other on the back or high-five each other during the game. And a neurologist by the name of Michael Krauss studied physical contact between teammates on NBA basketball teams. And guess what he discovered? He discovered that the teams who had the most touchings won the most games. Huh. And one more surprising one. Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh exposed 400 people to the cold virus. And they studied the effect of hugs on some of those people. And the ones who received hugs were far less likely to get sick. But those who did get sick had milder symptoms than those who hugged. In other words, healthy physical contact, such as hugs and handshakes and pats on the back and more, are affecting us physically, mentally, and emotionally, giving us better physical, mental, emotional health. Positive. That's one of the reasons that I love to hug people out here in the foyer on Sunday mornings when they come, if they want to be hugged. Yes, I tend to hug the women more than the men. Don't read anything into that unless you just don't have anything else to do. I've been known to hug some of the guys too, and I didn't make a point of it, didn't I? Say, some of you guys, I hugged you today. But guess what? I'm the one who gets the most out of it because I get more hugs than anybody else. That does not mean it's a selfish gesture on my part. Hey, let's hug. Maybe we should greet each other again right now and just hug one another. No, I'm just talking. What does this have to do with experiencing God? Well, think about it. For God so loved the world that he put on skin and touched you. Hallelujah. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. In Luke chapter 5, we read a marvelous story that took place in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's a story about when he called some of his first disciples. He was standing by the Sea of Galilee teaching, and the hill kind of slopes up from the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and there were a lot of people there, and they couldn't see him all that well, and they couldn't hear him all that well. So Peter offered his boat. Jesus took Peter's boat, had Peter push him out from the shore a little bit, and that way more people could see him. And not only that, the water acoustically enhanced his voice, and so they could also hear him better. Okay. Then he finished teaching, and he told Peter to throw his net out into the deep waters and catch some fish. And Peter said, oh, I've been fishing all night long and I didn't catch anything. And Jesus said, just do it. And you know how that turned out? As a result of all that, Peter, James, and John left their nets, left their occupation, left their security blanket, and followed Jesus that day. Now, here is the very next thing that happened. And it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. Now, leprosy is extremely contagious. It was against the law to have any physical contact whatsoever with a leper. If people encountered a leper, they would warn other people and they would point and say, unclean, unclean, don't go near them. Let's continue with the story in Luke chapter 1. When the leper saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. He didn't have to do that. He could have healed him just by saying, you're healed. But he touched him. Right in the beginning of his ministry, Jesus is modeling to his disciples that they should consider touching an important part of ministry. The importance of healing the whole person, healing the heart, not just the body, not just the mind. The importance of identifying with another person, of connecting with another person. The importance of healing the whole person. Heart, mind, soul, body. And that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for you. You are the leper. Your life was in the pits of decay until Jesus Christ came along and spiritually touched you. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. You remember how it felt when he first touched you? Or have you forgotten? That is one of the most profound ways that we experience God, is through his holy spiritual touch in our lives. Here's another one. I'm sure you remember the story of the woman who was bleeding for 12 years. And she was healed when she touched the hem of his garment. That story is considered so important that it appears in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, according to the Jewish law, that woman was ceremoniously unclean, just like the leper, because of her condition. And while the leper was physically unclean, she was considered religiously unclean. If a leper touched someone, that person would also be considered unclean. Well, in the same way, that poor woman could not touch anyone because they would suffer the same fate. They would be declared unclean. The crowd was surrounding Jesus. It was thick, and she was in the middle of the crowd, and she really wanted to get close to Jesus, and she was trying to press her way through without even brushing up against the body of someone else. She could not touch them. She honored the law in that way. She was used to living her life that way. She was used to being alone, even if she was surrounded by many, many people. And for her to even touch Jesus would be damning for her. So she honored it. But she needed help. And so she decided, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. And she did. And two things happened simultaneously. Her bleeding stopped, and power went out of Jesus. Jesus stopped. He turned around. And it says in the Bible, he shouted, "Who touched my clothes?" I've often heard that read by other people in the pulpit. "Who touched my clothes?" He shouted. Everybody knew somebody had done it. And we're told that that woman fell to the ground. That's twice we've read about somebody falling to the ground in his presence. That woman fell to the ground at his feet, and she confessed. And Jesus was so pleased with her, he said, "Your faith has made you well." And you know what? That woman had been made to feel like an outcast, inferior, unwanted, unloved, and she had been forced to withdraw from everyone. She couldn't even have human touch with anyone. She had become a loner. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt inferior to other people? Have you ever withdrawn and allowed yourself to become a loner? Even in this small group, right here in this room, I suspect there's at least one person, if not multiple people, who feel alone in this world. Even though you are not, you feel like you are. You've been hiding it from us, maybe. But you can't hide that from Jesus. He knows. Maybe you feel unworthy to even touch the hem of his garment. Brothers, sisters, do you believe in his power? Do you believe that he has the power to release into your life healing, wholeness? When you take a step of faith and reach out and touch him, do you believe that? Do you want to believe that? Jesus Christ wants you to touch him. Why? Because he desperately wants to touch you with perfect love. He loves you. What a spectacular way to experience God, reaching out and touching him in faith and then beholding his power in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's some other examples. In John chapter 9, Jesus touched a blind man's eyes and his sight was restored. You know what? There are countless people in your life today who can only see the world and the pleasures of the world. They are blind to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Pray for them that they would seek him and ask for him to touch them. And then you, I'm talking to you folks, you take them by the hand and lead them to Jesus. You can do that. You can do that. This is Luke 7. A widow was weeping and she was walking behind the coffin containing her only son. And Jesus had compassion on her and he reached out and he touched the coffin. And it says in the Bible, when he did that, he said, "Young man, get up." And he was resurrected right there in front of everybody. What an incredible miracle that was. There are countless people around you and me who are dead, and they don't know it. Their bodies may be alive, but their spirits are dead. They're like a corpse because they don't know or accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for them that Jesus Christ would touch them and say to them, "Get up." You take them by the hand and lead them to the Lord and allow him to do that. You can. You can do that. Maybe I'm talking about your grandson. Maybe I'm talking about your granddaughter. Maybe I'm talking about someone else very dear to you. There is hope in the touch of Jesus Christ. Here's another one. Matthew 8, Jesus touched the hand of Peter's mother-in-law, and her fever went away. She experienced the power of God. Mark 7, Jesus met a deaf mute. And it says he put his fingers in the man's ears and then he touched his tongue and suddenly he could hear and he could speak and he also experienced the power of God in his life. I hate to even think this. And certainly I hate to say it, but there may be some of you sitting right now who are miserable. You are blind. You are deaf. You are dumb. You are sick, you are grieving, and you desperately need Jesus to touch you. What are you waiting for? He's there. He's available. Come on, cry out to him, "Son of David, Son of David, heal me." Experience the power of Jesus in your life. Please. Let Jesus touch you. Let him touch you. Now, this touching goes both ways. You touch Jesus with your faith, and Jesus touches you with his grace. But you know what? He does not want you to touch only him. He wants you to touch other people too, figuratively, spiritually, perhaps even physically at times. One of our big problems is that inappropriate physical touching can lead to considerable harm, and we all know that. And for that reason, some people are afraid of any kind of touching at all. How sad. How sad. But our God, who touches the unclean and brings wholeness to them and health to them, wants us to be his body here on earth, his hands, and touch those in need. That's yet another way that you can experience God, by touching people who need his help. There's a song called Reach Out and Touch. I'll bet you know the song. It starts, "Reach out and touch a soul that is hungry." Have you ever done that? Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you ever encountered someone who does not know God, someone who is searching for help and encouragement and maybe starving for answers in life? You have found those answers. Have you ever reached out and touched them? The way Jesus demonstrated to his disciples right at the beginning of his ministry, reach out and touch. The hymn continues, "Reach out and touch a spirit in despair," it says. "Reach out and touch a life torn and dirty. A man who is lonely, if you care." That just begs the question, doesn't it? Do you care? Do you care? Or are you reluctant to touch someone who is dirty? It continues, "Reach out and touch that neighbor who hates you." Wow. "That stranger who meets you." We don't even make eye contact in the grocery store with strangers. And it says, reach out and touch stranger. "Reach out and touch the brother who needs you," it says. "Reach out and let the smile of God touch through you." You know, I was thinking about that line in the song. How in the world is the smile of God going to touch through you if your face isn't smiling at the same time? Are you listening? Lots of people in here need a facelift. I should get out my iPhone and take a picture. That's all very convicting, isn't it? But here's one of the most convicting parts of this song. It says, "Reach out and touch, though touching means losing a part of your own self, if you dare." Wow. Your touch and the touch of Jesus Christ through you can bring reconciliation between people who have a broken relationship. Is that you? Or do you know someone who's experiencing a conflict like that in their life? Your touch with his can bring hope, even when they may feel utter discouragement. Your touch and his can release the burden of sin in somebody's life. It can bring a healing peace to somebody's life. It can end a war in their life and perhaps even bring salvation to someone who otherwise is lost. Mark chapter 10 says people were bringing little children to Jesus because they wanted Jesus to touch the little children. Are there any children in your family who need that? I know the answer to that. Are there any children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in your family who need to know Jesus? What are you going to do about it? Luke 6, it says, the people all tried to touch Jesus because power was coming from him and healing them all. They were experiencing God and they knew it. Hallelujah. The divine touch of God saves the sinner. It heals the sick. It delivers the oppressed. It sanctifies people who need to be sanctified. It brings strength to people when you are feeling weak. It restores people when they go astray. It helps to comfort people. And it also helps people to grow into the image of God Himself. There may be no better way to experience God than through touch. And finally, one of my favorite Bible verses is this, John 15:7, and it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and what? It will be done for you." I think he was saying, Harry, the secret of your having power in your life is to stay in touch with me. I thought that was very clever, but very profound. Stay in touch with me. If you lose touch with Jesus Christ, you will lose his power. So, reach out and touch. Let's listen.